Good evening. It is Sunday night, January 21st, 2018, and the Sharks put on a good old butt whooping, kind of like how the Philadelphia Eagles put on a butt whooping earlier today. This time, the Sharks take down the Ducks in a rare slaughterhouse, 6-2 in Quackenheim. Oh my. Oh my. We will discuss all this and more on this edition of Teal Town After Dark. You can join us in the chat or be in the YouTube page or the app, or you can also hit us on the Twitter handle at Teal Town USA or use the hashtag Teal Town USA. Make sure you hit us up on all of our social media channels, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Joining me this evening, I have Mr. Alex Martinet.
Hey, yep.
All right. And Chris JWS. Good evening, sir.
Hey now.
Oh, boy.
So you're gonna be playing
Hey,
Destiny.
AJ stole it from Stern. I can steal it from him.
Okay. Yeah, bud. Yeah, bud. So let's talk about this game. My goodness. 6-2, not what we expected, especially after the way the third period started, but nonetheless, let's do this thing. All right, in the first period, things were going back and forth, although the Sharks had their feet early on, which is something you really haven't done in the in their second set of back-to-backs. They've always had a good start, but kind of faltered at the end, and this one is a little bit different because early on, I think the Sharks stayed level ground, didn't let the hits by the Ducks affect them too much, and it paid off as Mark Edward Vlasic at 13:53 from Tomas Hertl and Justin Braun makes it 1-0 Sharks. Alex, what did you take from the first period of this game, including a couple of saves from Aaron Dell, denying like Ricard Raquel on a breakaway to keep the Sharks on top early on.
Yeah, he did that twice that period, or that in the entire game, I believe. But I think the Sharks didn't really come out of the gate. I mean, that's a kind of expected for back to back playing Penguins last night. But I figured, the first like the Ducks were on their game, and for me, like I just kind of figured that if the Ducks scored two or the first goal in the game, we would have been far back, and Dell kept us in the game until our offense kind of picked up, our legs kind of picked up, and I thought that was the key moment of the game.
Chris, what did you think from the early get-go?
Well, we'll get to this in a minute, but Rob Humphrey in the chat saying Bodker has a good night and AJ goes into hiding. It's true. I don't know. I don't know if we want to have the exact repeat of last night's cast on here, but by the way, the camera's stuck on me. Also, that's what they're saying in the chat.
Oh.
But aside from that, yeah, that first period was a little rough for the Sharks. I mean, they were moving their feet, but they were giving the puck, they were doing the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They were giving it away now, quite a bit, a lot of hits. They were taking it pretty hard on the chin in that first period, but they managed to avoid being in a hole because of it. Because really, that goal, that was like one sequence sandwich with a bunch of Anaheim chances, and they were lucky to get out of that period, and they improved in the following period. So luckily that, luckily it didn't hurt them, because that could have gotten out of hand early if they hadn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Second period now, the Sharks really started to get things moving. A turnover leads to Kevin LeBanc skating and almost on a breakaway from an angle, though. Gets his fifth of the year. He finally gets off the schneid. And guys, he's been putting up a lot of assists. He's almost been like the Joe Thornton of the second power play unit. But good to see LeBanc getting a goal in the midst of a line change, it looks like, from Thornton and Meyer. 3:38 to make it 2-0. I thought that was a sweet play and a great shot by the banker.
Totally. I think that was top right corner from that position. I think the bigger issue with LeBanc is his decision-making. Sometimes he just doesn't shoot the puck and he turns it over instead. You know, I he's how old again? 21, 22?
He is 22.
So I think there's plenty of room to develop. It's just I want to see if he can take that next step with LeBanc.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been putting up the assists, and I'm kind of looking at his numbers right here in front of me. I mean, he's definitely contributed. He's over 20 points on the year, been very helpful. And I noticed that, was it just me, or did it feel like there was a lot of really nice up, you know, really nice snipe shots pretty much all night long? That was the first one, but there was a lot of them where it was just a straight one goalie versus shooter. Shooter straight up beats the goalie.
Yeah. I think that might be the playbook against Gibson, who is their starting goaltender.
Yeah, it seemed like they were doing it so much, which either he was having a bad night in that respect, or that might be the scouting report on him, because it felt like a lot of goals went that way.
Yeah, and continue to do so on Mikhail Bodker's sixth from Vlasic and Tierney at 13:56 on the power play. A nice shot there. And Bodker, his sixth goal of the season. He's been on a good run lately, or as Brody would put it, hot bod.
Worst but, nickname ever.
Worst Twitter hashtag ever.
but you know, a nice deflection left him open in the slot from Vlasic and Bodker. Nice shot all alone, but no help for Gibson. He sees it by himself and can't stop it to make it 3-0. Things seem to be going pretty solid here, and then Ricard Raquel gets credit for a goal as Justin Braun scores on his own net on the power play on a 5-on-3 late in the second to make it 3-1 Anaheim. But guys, you know, Chris, I don't think I was expecting this dominant performance against Anaheim. It's always been a tight battle, and the Sharks open it up, and they had some great offensive chances in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a tale of survival in the first and some good luck, because they definitely need some good luck in the first to get through there. And then, I mean, I think, you know, well, I always talk about the times I think they had a lot of bad luck, because those games definitely happen. But this is a game I think that they were lucky and good. And that's what kind of was the difference. I think, like, this could easily have been a tight game. This easily could have been a runaway for the Ducks early if they had gotten a few of those goals. So I think, you know, they were fortunate, but they also got their game together. They were not nearly, you know, in the first period, they could have got run out of the building. The second and third, it was pretty even. There were a lot of chances all around, but I think they were a bit better. And they were a lot more lucky in the Ducks. And I think, yeah, it might have been the scouting report. Might have been just they knew how to beat Gibson. But they skated fast all night, really, and they didn't have to grind in the third on a back to back. And that's the big thing, is they had enough cushion there where they weren't having to play, you know, really, really hard, tough minutes. And that's the thing on a back to back in a close game. That's really hard to close those out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if they get 25, 23 minute range, that's when you start to see Joe Thornton start to hurt a little bit. Yeah.
And the Ducks are a notoriously heavy team. You know, that's the style they absolutely play. This is not a light hitting team either.
No, and that's always been the Ducks style, whether it was with Boudreau or Carlisle. They've always played the body. They've always played tough. They've always tried to get on their chances, and it always seemed to be cashing in on their chances, kind of like when beginning of the third period, you know, Ryan Getzlaf, his fifth of the year from Kasha and Raquel, makes it 3-2, and you're thinking, oh boy, here we go, here's our tight game going, and you know, all of a sudden the Sharks get a power play, and just a minute later, Joe Thornton with a beauty of a shot, partial screen by Pavelski, didn't go off of him. So Burns and Couture get an assist on the Joe Thornton goal. That puts him ahead of Brian Trotre, 16th all-time on the NHL scoring list. Yes, folks, he passed Brian Trotre, and he's still not one of the 100 greatest players of all time in NHL history. Yes, 101 for sure, right? But 247 in, what a response back. I mean, this is one of those games where it's like you dominate, and then when they score to make it look interesting, you come back and get them again. In which Hot Bod gets his second goal of the game, and you know, the $1 million scored when contestants like hoping like crazy get one more. But Bodker, his seventh from Carlson, makes it 5-2 during the following TV timeout. Carlisle swaps goaltenders, puts Ryan Miller in, and the Milkman delivers a six pack of pucks as he grips it and rips it home from Bodker and Tierney. Bodker with a 3-point night, 15:06, the time of the of that last goal, makes it 6-2 Sharks. Guys, that third period, they put it on after they kind of let Anaheim get back into this game.
Yeah, I was kind of worried that we play some prevent defense, but just keep away from the Ducks, because I thought they were controlling the pace of the game for a while until the very end of the game. I think Timo Meier had one of his best games in front of the net, screening the goalie, and that's all that Pavelski did for Thorin's goal at the very end of the game. I thought that was a very good sign that they're starting to do that more often, not just play the edges.
Chris, what did you think of the three-goal outburst in the third?
I think it was several things. I mean, obviously the power play helps, and that's the thing, is they were 2-for-5 on the power play. Power play is definitely considerably better this year than it was last year. I don't think, you know, they're that dramatically different. I think last year was partially bad luck and partially just a year in transition, but I think the power play has been big. And, you know, I think the chat is giving us a little crap because we haven't been talking that much about that computer guy. Apple? Shit, I can't remember his name. Playing goal.
Dell?
Dell, that guy. He's pretty okay.
He's more than okay.
He was the reason why they got out of that first, and he definitely closed the door on a lot of opportunities in second and the third, and really helped keep it from the Ducks from getting back into it several times there. And then the team in front of them put their boot on their throat, and they finished them off. Ian says HP. That's right. Yeah. HP and goal.
HP or Comcast.
Yes. Yeah, no, the
Intel inside goal. I don't know.
Yes. Dude, we're getting to Dell. But
I think my big criticism of Dell is he's always played below 500 competition, Ottawa,
right?
Coyotes. I just think that the past two games, I haven't watched the Penguins game, but I assume he played pretty well.
He played pretty solid there. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is kind of a continuation of his performance against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a criticism of him as much as a always tempering the expectations and not getting too far ahead of ourselves. But I think at this point, I've seen enough of him, whether it's good competition or bad competition, we've seen enough to say it's not a fluke that he's played very well. And the whole idea of a goalie controversy, it's a little bit way premature right now. Just think of it as we aren't screwed with Martin Jones not being able to play right now, which is a good thing, because you remember how it was with Alex Tkachuk 2 years ago, where if Jones had gotten injured in that season, they probably would have missed the playoffs.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. Apparently, our lower thirds aren't working. I know, Alex, you were having a tough time with it. Hang on, Lonnie.
Google's good at computers.
Don't worry about it. I don't think we kind of need it, but
they're used to uniformity, I guess. Helen TK Garcia, what do you call a singing goalie? Adele. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
I need to find this comment. That's a 5-minute timeout for that one.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Actually, no, I will start game timeouts for mentions of Voldemort though down there. I see you, chat.
What? Okay, I'm not sure what this is all about.
Yeah, no, we're moving. We're on to Cincinnati.
Oh gosh. All right. Cheryl in the chat, in regards to Dell, he's been stellar, and it's not always sub 500 competition. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, more so, it's been more on the sub 500. But plus, the D has been much better at getting rebounds out of his crease. And I think the last, the last couple of games, they've kind of crashed the net per se to clear the garbage out. And for those who know what I'm talking about, or don't know what I'm talking about, check out D2 the Mighty Ducks for clearing, or no, I'm sorry, D3 for about clearing the garbage. Keep going in the chat here. It sounds similar to the made-up controversy when the Sharks were resting Jones before the playoffs and Reimer was good. Yes, you would need to give Jones rest, guys, no matter what. It's coming a little early, and you want him to be healthy for the long playoff run, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. Like, even if Jones, or even if Dell wins 70% of his starts going forward, and Jones is out for the next month because he has a lower minor body injury, which means completely anything. It can be major, minor, but even if he wins 70% of his games, I still think that Jones is the starter goaltender no matter what. He has the most talent. I just think what Dell has, he doesn't have a long playbook that defenses or offenses that can do.
There's not as much film on him as there is on Jones, and also there's the injury factor, but also, I mean, it's, you can never say never. It's entirely possible 3 months from now we're talking about that he just swept in and stole his job from him, and that, I'm not saying that could never happen, but it would take a hell of a lot of things happening for that to go. And I'd rather, you know, I don't really care who's the starter, I just want to win. Really, like, if we're winning with Dell or winning Jones, it's the same way I felt years ago about the pseudo controversy with Stalock and Niemi. I didn't care who was in goal. Wow. I just wanted to win. Yeah, this is a much higher caliber controversy. I mean, it's really, honestly, I think, I forget who it was, Kurz or Gackle or someone basically just said, there is no controversy. There won't be controversy anytime soon. This is just cheap shit for clicks. And that's really what it is. Like, there isn't a controversy yet, and there won't be for quite a while.
Saw Ian.
And that's not to disrespect how well Dell has played. That is just, this is a very premature conversation here.
Yeah, no, seriously. Kevin Lacey in the chat, Boedker has been better since Martin was waived, though. Coincidence? Guys, let's be real here. Now that DW did put somebody on waivers, maybe that woke up Mikhail Boedker.
Well, no, I'm maybe. Pretty sure I fully expect that now that he scored two goals, we probably won't have him score again until April. I think after he got that hat trick like a year or two ago, didn't he like not score again for like a month or something?
He was like on and off. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's just crazy. To go through the stats here, Ducks won the faceoff war 54-46. As Chris mentioned before, the Sharks were 2-for-5 on the power play. The Ducks went 1-for-3, as that one that went off of Braun was a power play goal on a 5-on-3. The Ducks outhit the Sharks 31-14. The Sharks had a slight edge in block shots, 18-15. Giveaways, 18-13. And boy, howdy, was there ever a giveaway early in the first period, as Yannick Hansen, who was filling in for Jonas Donskoy. One of the things I was always taught, and mind you, I played hockey out here in the Bay Area, and you know, but one of the things is that when you're breaking out, you better absolutely make sure that there's somebody there if you're going to go up in the middle of the ice to break out. And there was nobody there, and he gave it away, and it gave the Ducks some sustained pressure there. So a little bit of improvement on that. Overall, Aaron Dell makes 33 saves on 35 shots. The Sharks put up 26 shots between Miller and Gibson. Let's see here. Ricard Raquel with a goal and assist for the Ducks. along with Ryan Getzlaff for the Sharks. Like we've mentioned before, Mikkel Boedker, 2 goals and assists for a 3-point night. Melker Karlsson with the 2-point night. Chris Tierney with 2 assists. Joe Thornton, a goal and assist. What players stood out for you guys tonight overall in this game? Alex?
Oh, I mean, Timo was the big one. I thought he did a great job, but I think Karlsson, I think that was a surprise add. I don't know what they do with Hansen, but I think Karlsson is a solid fourth wiener or someone you can depend on the second line if Chura gets hurt or not. That's something I was kind of surprised got some time. I think people have made a great deal about Joe Thornton scoring 12 goals now, 12 or 13 at this point. That's mostly due to Marlow not being there, but I love him shooting the puck. We always talk about that. He's not shooting the puck, but he's doing it this year, and got to respect that.
Chris?
I think, yeah, Thornton is someone I've been watching a lot lately and stood out to me tonight. Again, I think that he has realized that he has lost a step. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's not as good as he was 2 years ago. And it's not surprising, but I think he's definitely taking more shots. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would be surprised if I looked at him and didn't see that he's taken an increase in shots over the last month or two. And maybe it's him adjusting his game and trying to kind of adjust for the fact that they expect him to pass, of course, but he can't pass the way he used to. He can't move the way he used to. So maybe try and pull surprise occasionally and throw the puck right at the net, pass the biscuit to the basket.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like Steve Cropper says, now who wants Jumbo gone next year? Nobody.
I think it depends on the price. Depends on what other opportunities are out there.
Yep.
It's kind of always a depends thing. And, if he's willing to do a 1 year deal and it doesn't stop us from making another important move, which given this year's free agent class, I don't think it will stop us from making an important move. I have no problem giving him his 1 year, $6 to $8 million to kind of just, be off the books in 1 year and we'll talk again next year.
Yeah, not for a 2 year deal. I think that's past his point at this point. But
it better be a little bit lower than eight, though.
Yeah,
maybe six, and even that's pushing it.
Yeah, yeah. But I think one of our great weaknesses is our center depth. Barracuda doesn't have a great center depth. I know they tried to transition Hurl back to center, but that just didn't really work out. So I don't know what you do about that. If Thorne's not there, because that would seem like that's the next move, is to move the Hurdle back to center.
Oh, or I don't know if we'll go through that experiment again, because it seems like he's really doing well in the wing. But I mean, I get your point completely, and I know what you mean there.
So. And he's I think he's solidified as a winger now. I think he's done good things with Couture, and that's down the road. That's going to be what the Sharks are going to have for a top line, I would think. Nonetheless, as Brody and Curtis go off the air, we want to say hello to everybody else that has joined us. This is Teal Town After Dark. We are your live and interactive Sharks post-game show, so feel free to join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app, wherever you're watching us tonight. If you're on Twitter, by all means, use the hashtag TealTownUSA. And we will get your comments on the air.
Quick annihilate that subscribe button.
That's right. And hit that little bell. So that way, when we come on, you get to get notified that we are on and you can join the conversation.
If you're already subscribed. Jay Weezy is asking in the chat if we have any good center prospects. I don't know if any near the top of the pipeline. I don't know if this is a question that I know only a few people can really answer farther down the pipeline.
Lacey.
Paging Kevin Lacey.
Yeah.
Kevin.
And maybe Ian, but I just don't think they have I think having been talked about, or they just haven't shown it yet in Barracuda.
And like Kevin Lacy says, Josh Norris is a center. Dylan Gambrell is a center. Those kids are in college right now. So they're down the pipeline a little bit. Ian saying in the chat, O'Regan's going to be a winger in the NHL. I think the Sharks stop trying to make him a center. They'll be better for it. Totally agree.
That's 2 years out, possibly three.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, we've learned is things that look one way now can be very different a year or two out. Because I remember about 3 years ago on the show bagging on how bad the center or the pipeline was in general for wingers and or our whole pipeline, basically. And we've definitely had some impact players come up through there, and we've had impact players come through other means too. So, yeah, it's hard to say. All you know, these things are always in flux.
If they're gonna do anything during the off season, center is gonna be the position they target.
Yeah. Mike Nevis saying give Lacy a tryout. I don't know. I don't know if we'll let him on here because we might. You know, we don't need another AJ.
What?
No, I kid. Anyway.
Wow. Randall Hunt saying if Anaheim Chicago miss the playoffs, we have a great shot. Yeah, but I don't think you discount what's going on in Winnipeg. I don't think you discount what Nashville's done. Hell, I don't think you can discount the best team in the NHL, the expansion Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, and they're the perfect case study for the value player right there. I'm just playing with you, Kevin. He loves me too. The Vegas Golden Knights, they are really the case study though for value players that aren't super, are not blue chip players, but they can contribute, and you have enough of them, you can do a lot of good things. And I mean, that's part of what fueled the resurgence for the Sharks a couple years ago, was having a couple those players, Donskoy and all that, chip in a lot more, and that helped.
and as we mentioned, Vegas Sleepy Mofo says if Vegas wins the cup this season, I'll be this. If Vegas wins the cup this season, I think anybody who hasn't won a cup is going to be thoroughly pissed as to what they've done this year.
Honestly, I won't be. I'd be happy for them. Like, I'd be jealous, but I'd be pretty happy for them. Like, you know what? Good for you. You know, because good for you. You know, it's not easy to do it. And if they manage to put together a team, good. I doubt it. Four rounds of playoffs to go before we can talk about that. So,
gotcha. You can tell that's the people of Vancouver.
Did somebody say Vancouver?
If anything, the spite of Vancouver would definitely make it that much sweeter, because I can be happy for someone else's success. But Vancouver is about to have the title ripped away from them as far as destroying your own city. Last I saw with Philly fans, I saw a few fires on the news. I know they greased the poles to avoid people climbing up on them.
Oh my God, really?
Stay classy, Philadelphia.
Congrats, Eagles fans. You're going to get obliterated by the Patriots in 2 weeks.
Yeah, then they'll be partying. It's like it's 2011 Vancouver. Bye-bye.
So in case you didn't know, the Eagles and the Patriots will play in Minnesota in 2 weeks for the Super Bowl. There you go. There's your football talk for today. All right.
Sorry, Gen X.
So let's go and do the NHL wrap around here. We have about five games on the schedule on this AFC Championship Sunday. What are you laughing at?
I was just Sleepy Mofo.
Oh, what's he saying?
Eagles haven't won anything yet.
And they probably won't anytime soon. And I see Ian making comments about greasing poles. Yes. Around in California, we only grease poles in the San Fernando Valley.
Wow.
If you know California and you know what I'm talking about, then you know. But anyways, NHL reach around.
It's NHL wrap around.
San Fernando Valley.
All right, let's get through this here. Okay, in Washington, it was 2-1 win for the Philadelphia Flyers in overtime as Travis Konecny scores 27 seconds into OT. Raffle and Ovechkin also scored goals as Brian Elliott gets the win over Braden Holtby. The Flyers coming on now. Yes, and like we mentioned earlier, the Golden Knights 5-1 Hurricanes. Belmar, Miller, Marchessault, Neal, Lipsick, all the goals for the Golden Knights as they now are the best team in the NHL and are two wins away from matching Anaheim and Florida for the most wins by an expansion team.
Quick question.
Fire away. Is
James Neal the MVP this season? I mean, it is the story of the season, and that tends
to be the story of the season. I can't see him being it with his stats. I think if his stats were like Stamkos, Kucherov, insane, I would say, see, even my dog Marlo says, I'm not sure on it, but he's led that team, and I'm shocked the second that we mentioned James Neal Hockey Trick isn't on here, but. Nonetheless,
did somebody say James Neal?
Yeah, exactly.
if by any chance the Knights get the President's Trophy, then I think that's a pretty good case for a first-year player, first-year team. I don't know. That'd be pretty tempting to give it to them.
Unfortunately, arguments that don't start and end with "he has the mostest stats" usually don't go very far in MVP discussions in any sport. It's not that I don't think the interesting case could be made. It's just, we always know whenever it's not, a statistical thing, people just kind of balk at the idea. So I don't know. I agree with you in principle, but just I've seen enough sportsing over the years to know that it's always the guy with the gaudiest stats, mm-hmm. or the guy with the second gaudiest stats, or the third gaudiest stats. It's never the guy who is like the one, everyone has their own definition of MVP, but the consensus tends to be the guy with the best stats.
I think stats, yeah. But I think if it's a bigger story at the end of the season, I think that's what wins it over.
Yeah. Yeah. There's recency too, but yeah, I would say he would need to be, I think generally it's top three guys are really the only ones that really get serious consideration in any league or any sport, I think.
Or you can just be from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Just be from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. If he played for Pittsburgh, maybe.
Yeah. As we continue on here, so the Golden Knights win 5-1 over the Hurricanes. They're in Winnipeg. The Jets, from a goal from Patrick Laine at 11:45. That's the lone goal in this game as Connor Hellebuyck gets another shutout for the Jets as they win 1-0 over the Vancouver Canucks. Of course, the Sharks won 6-2 over the Ducks up the road in LA. There, after two periods of play, the Kings lead 3-2 as the Kings go on a power play onslaught, scoring three power play goals in the second period. Desharnais and VC are the goals for the Rangers, while Muzzin, Amadio, and Tanner Pearson all goals for the LA Kings. What that does for now at the standings, well, doesn't do too much in the West. Winnipeg is still on top of the Central at 63. Nashville right behind them at 62. The Blues are at 59. In the Pacific, the Sharks are 8 points behind the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas at 66. San Jose at 58. Calgary at 55. They are in the wild card. The Dallas Stars are at 58. With 48 games played, Colorado at 55 points with 45 games played. Minnesota at 47 games played is at 55. LA currently playing right now is at 53, followed by Anaheim at 53. Chicago at 50. Edmonton at 45. Vancouver at 42. And the Desert Dogs at 31. So it's still tight, guys, but the Sharks kind of now looking at as the tied for fourth in points in the West.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good for them. It's still, you know, the February is always their make or break month. So if they get through next month without falling off, they definitely have a good chance to at least be in the playoffs. I don't know about positioning because the Golden Knights don't seem like they're ever going to taper off at all. Just and Ian saying in the chat, do you want to summon Drew Eber? This is how you summon Drew Eber. Did somebody mention the Hurricanes or something? Because I know usually if you just like get in front of a mirror and say Carolina Hurricanes three times, Drew just pops in there.
Hurricanes. Oh, come on, Drew.
He doesn't like you, apparently.
Oh, well, a lot of people don't, apparently.
But Rob is asking if the Oilers will become sellers. I don't think they'll become sellers, but there's probably, from everything I've heard talking to a few bloggers that way, that heads are definitely going to roll if they miss the playoffs. And that, I don't think that'll necessarily be sellers, but that'll definitely be some people getting fired and some contracts not renewed, etc.
I don't know. I expect Todd McClellan to not return next season, though. That's
yeah. That's been implied to me. I don't know. Again, I don't follow them close enough to know for sure how on the hot seat he is. But I would think that if they miss the playoffs, he could very well be out of there.
They only have 45 points right now.
Yeah,
you know, they are about 10 points back.
Well, it sounds like, you know, I know the power play is a big part of it. They're having a lot of issues on the power play and just, yeah, all over, like they've regressed. So,
yeah. So, wild card is 55 points and they are 45.
Yeah. And they would need to go on a pretty good tear. So, a question from a few minutes ago, four paws up for hockey. Can someone address why Pavelski is not doing as well as we expected? I think, you know, we've touched on this before, but I think part of it is Pavelski is getting older. I mean, I know my age and he's 1 year older than me. So he's, you know, he's in his early to mid 30s now. So that's the age where most players start declining. Most forwards start declining after like age 31, 32. That's when they start going downhill, unless you're like Patrick Marleau and manage to still be pretty dang good at age 35. But that's the exception, not the rule. He's always been a slower player and he's managed to succeed despite that. So, you know, that's when you're already not very fast and you slow down even more, that doesn't help. And then I think Joe Thornton slowing down definitely hurts him too, because no disrespect to Pavelski, but in many ways, how, you know, he's a guy who's a 25 to 35 goal scorer, you know, at best, who had the benefit of being on the wing of the passer of his generation. And when Thornton's not as good, Pavelski's not as good.
Yeah. And it came out that Pavelski was suffering from an upper body injury
that too,
early in the season. So that wasn't exactly the best. And I wonder if that's been bugging him for a while, even from last season too. So,
well, considering I'm getting up in that same age range right now, my game's about to drop off a little bit, probably, since I'm getting in the mid 30s there.
Oh gosh.
So in February, the Sharks have 5 home games and 10 away games.
And this is why February is always the gauntlet month.
Yeah, I mean the January and February. I mean it's been crazy. So it's unbelievable. I think somebody was asking if Josh Norris scored. He's the 2017 first round pick for the Sharks, and he scored 26 seconds into the game against Penn State in their victory today over the Nittany Lions. Not to kind of bum everybody out, but unfortunately, we have some sad news to report, and that was the general manager for USA Hockey and the person who put together the men's Olympic team died unexpectedly. Where is it? Jim Johansson apparently, shockingly, died in his sleep. He was only 53 years old. This was announced earlier today in the statement that USA Hockey put out as accomplished as Jim was in hockey. He was absolute best, most humble, kind, and caring person you could hope to ever meet. And of course, we send our condolences out to the Johansson family. But what a stunning and shocking and profound sadness there in regards to the guy who kind of put this whole. And a complex decision to put this U.S. Olympic team together. It's just a stunning development. Wasn't expected at all. Our best to...
Do you know who's the next person in line, or did they think that far ahead?
I don't know offhand. Since the team's already been picked, and usually how it's worked is that they've just have a GM just for the certain tournament, kind of like how I think years ago it was Wayne Gretzky was specifically the general manager of the tournament for Canada in 2002 in Salt Lake City. So it might just be a temporary fill for just that specific team. So that remains to be seen, But unexpected news to come out for sure on that. But moving on, and they didn't specifically say a cause of death or anything yet with that. But that's very sudden. And again, our condolences to the Johansson family and members of USA Hockey. So as we celebrate a Sharks victory, we get prepared for Tuesday night as the Sharks conclude their West Side Story series against the Winnipeg Jets. And like we said, the Jets are in first place in the Central. Guys, what are you looking forward and expecting on Tuesday night, Alex?
A much better performance than last. What was it, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, when we faced him against Winnipeg? Again, that was the back end of the road trip at the very end of the bye week or the start of the bye week. Even if they come away with a loss here, I think coming away 5-7 on the road trip is a very, very good thing to have. I just don't know how we're going to match up against a team like Winnipeg who is all focused on speed and youth. And that is the Achilles heel. Every team that we've played against, that seems to be what kills us.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. The speed thing, that's really overall my number one worry with the Sharks in general is handling speed teams. But, I mean, I see plenty of things in the last stretch here that make me think that their game is starting to head in the trend in the right direction. Because, you know, being able to beat Pittsburgh, even if it's not Pittsburgh as good as they've been recently, being, you know, beating down Anaheim, beating the Kings, having a pretty good overall stretch over the last six games, I would hope that, you know, since last time I've seen them, I think they're playing a lot better and doing a lot of things a lot better. So I would hope that maybe they can, you know, cement a really good January by beating them. And, you know, I see coming up on the schedule as well, the Rangers, the Penguins, and Detroit. You know, there's, if they can split that 50-50 over those four games, that's a pretty solid January overall.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do worry, though, that we've built this team to face up against the Kings and, you know, the Kings and Ducks and no one else. And that would be a really bad problem for us.
I mean, that's part of how they got as far as they did in the playoffs a couple years ago when they went to the finals is because they, you know, played a lot of more lumbering style teams. And those teams exist in the West, but that the problem is that they don't do as well with the fast, you know, the young teams that are fast, but those luckily make mistakes, but it's those fast teams that are not young and green that don't make those mistakes that really give them fits.
And then the one time we face a fast team, it's of course in the Stanley Cup finals.
Yep. Of course. I mean, that's the thing is that Pittsburgh was, they fast team, but they weren't just fast. They were very experienced too. Cause you know, they can beat the Coyotes. They can beat a lot, you know, Vancouver and all that, because they make mistakes. They make a lot more mistakes because they're young and they're green, but the fast experienced teams, those ones are the ones that really can lay a whooping on the Sharks. Winnipeg being one of them, Dallas being another, or Tampa Bay. I mean, if you think about the times they've gotten lit up this season, it's been those kinds of teams.
Yeah.
So, not to bring everybody down, but that's definitely a long-term thing we're all looking at here.
Yeah. The game after the Kings game, we played the Coyotes and we just could not keep up with them. Two games in a row.
Mm-hmm. So. In against a team that's last in the league, they gave them a hard time, which is something you need to have throughout the year. You can't just have the gimme games and play down to their opponents like the Sharks historically have done in the past. So it kind of is a building, or I should say, more of a teachable moment. In that sense, because the Sharks need to have those games that they can't be pushed lightly. It was easily coming back to them tonight when they were up 3-0 and the Ducks come back with two goals, you know, and made it 3-2. And then all of a sudden, here you go. But they responded. And that's the important part to take away from tonight. They could have allowed the Ducks to come back, play prevent defense, and had them tie or maybe steal the game from the Sharks. They didn't. And I think you credit, you know, the whole team tonight on that, in that case. And they're going to need that more often too, guys.
Sorry, I was reading the chat. Sleepy Mopo says, don't bring me down. Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm not trying to bring you down. It's just more trying to keep the overall realistic perspective and knowing what, you know, the pattern really is there of what this team's weakness is and all that. And who knows, maybe they manage to get all the breaks and get all the right teams in front of them. You know, they make the playoffs, they get all the teams right in front of them, and they win the Stanley Cup. But the problem is, it cuts off a decent part of the field that they really would have a hard time facing. And that's, you know, that's a longer term problem that I would hope Doug Wilson's looking at. Who knows? And you're all correct in the chat. Hockey is superior to basketball, indeed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we already know who's going to play in the NBA finals, and it's only January. KM, yeah, let's talk about this. This is something we haven't talked about because, you know, Seattle hasn't been granted an expansion team yet, but let's be real. They already have, and they are going to get one and get the sweet Vegas deal, or the deal that Vegas got is going to be up in Seattle. That's going to great for two teams in the Pacific. Thanks so much.
Paging Gen X.
Yes, Paging Gen X, because this is in his area. So there's 13 nicknames that the Seattle group, the Oakville group, have gone with or are considering for their expansion team. And guys, I kind of want to go over them with you because there's some that are interesting, and there's some that are crazy, and there's some that like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But of the 13, none of them are Metropolitans.
So what we need to do here, I guess we all need to do kind of the thing. We need to do the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yes. So thumbs up, thumbs down. So guys, I'll go to you as we go off these Seattle Cougars.
Nah. Nope.
No. So no Cougars from the guys. I'm kind of the same thing. Seattle Eagles.
It's just. There's only room for one Eagles in sports. We you know, there's really one that we all hate. So
I would leave it on the board, but no.
There's worse names, but
it could be. Here's one I kind of like there's a few in here that I do like. Seattle Emeralds.
No.
I'm not enthusiastic about it, but I kind of see it. Maybe it feels a little too minor leaguey. If it's a minor league team, sure, absolutely. It doesn't quite have that pro sports feel to it.
Gotcha.
How about Seattle Coffee? How about that one?
Right? I think
the Starbucks, should. Yeah. Or Four Paws of Rock, you just said it in the chat. Seattle yeah. Starbucks, yeah.
I'm still that.
You know, the Seattle Evergreens.
No. That definitely sounds like a minor league team.
Speaking of minor league teams, they also have on here the Seattle Rainiers, which is also the it's also the name of Tacoma's minor league baseball team, the Seattle.
Rob Iman says, "How about the Seattle Ice Chickens?" Yeah. I like that.
Never gonna fly though.
Seattle Space That's Needles. Not gonna ever fly. Seattle Amazonians. Yeah.
Let's see what else was there on here. Seattle there was
Amazons.
The Seattle Firebirds, although you have the Flint Firebirds up in, so there might be another law, you know, an issue with that.
I like the theme.
Seattle Legal, because they have great law firms there. I wasn't aware that Seattle is famous for its law firms, but Seattle Aliens, the Sea Chickens. No, there's already Sea Chickens up there.
Well, they also have Sea Lions.
Seattle Fog. Oh, hell no, no, no. We have a copy. The Bay Area has a copyright on Fog.
Yeah.
You know, we will sue their asses if they ever do that.
The
Seattle Starpucks.
Oh, boy.
I see what you did there.
Jeez. They even have Seattle Seals on there.
Nope.
No.
The Seattle Sock Eyes.
Sock no.
No.
Because I could just picture them saying Seattle Sock like Ice. Well, they
Seattle more Pikes. Like
the Seattle Suck Ice. I mean, Seattle Totems, I think so far is probably the one that's really
Seattle Umbrellas, the Seattle Windbreakers. good ones, Sleepy Mofo.
And here's the one that's kind of controversial, the Seattle Whales. Mainly because with the Whales, you would have to force the Vancouver Canucks to change their logo since they have an orca on their front of their jerseys.
Yeah. I like a Seattle Grunge. I would like that. That would be good, actually.
They have plaid jerseys and everything.
Seattle. I could dig that one, actually.
But nonetheless, the one that's kind of catching everybody on is the Seattle.
The Kraken. Dragons.
The Seattle Kraken.
No, no, no. And there's a bunch in here that I'm not reading in the chat. No, no, no. Bad chat. Bad chat.
I'm see, I think the Seattle Frappuccinos would have been great.
The Seattle Fraps.
Yeah, the Seattle Frappuccinos.
You know? Yeah, chat, give us, you know, you're already giving us your ideas, but yeah. Bad Nick. Bad Nick.
I am not even going to go.
keep them stuff we'd actually be willing to put down. And no, we're not making jokes about. No, 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 no.
No, we aren't. No. For Randall, Kraken is an enormous mythical sea monster said to appear off the coast of Norway.
Seattle unicorns.
So.
Greyjoys.
So out of those 13 guys, yes, out of those 13, which one did you guys like the most?
Honestly, none of them really sat with me. I like the idea from the chat of the Seattle Grunge. Actually, to me, like that actually sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Like it works. But none of those really do anything for me. So then again, I hated all the names for the Golden Knights as well. I like the idea of the Vegas Blackouts.
Or Blackjacks, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was never going to be a gambling reference. It was like a drinking reference, blackout. You know, it's what you do in Vegas. You know, what you do, you go broke and you blackout.
See, so the Vegas Golden Flush? I don't know.
The Royal Flush? I don't know.
Never forget Vegas placeholders. Never, ever forget
Vegas Golden Showers. I think was in the other.
Oh boy. Ladies and gentlemen, now we've just gone too far, folks. So we will. Oh my god!
If they're the new grunge, I guess they have to have flannel sweaters.
Yes, they would have to have flannel sweaters as their jerseys. They would have to. Nonetheless, it's what 2020 at the very least is when they will come out. I would think, if not 2021. So
when's the lockout gonna happen?
it's just a given. It's gonna happen.
I mean, I would say it's 95% gonna happen. But
I think it's 2020 because they were talking about the World Cup being another World Cup happening there, but they wouldn't want to have a World Cup if the labor dispute is taking place, kind of like so how it happened in 2004. So maybe
they're saying in the chat 2021. So yeah,
2021 is probably the best bet for Seattle to join the league.
Seattle Macklemores.
Are you saying that they would get their jerseys at the thrift shop then?
Oh, yeah, basically. I think Kevin said he thought it was 2020, but like that would make some great marketing. Lockout 2020.
Be there as your expansion Seattle Kraken gets locked out before
eventually when we resolve our dispute. Oh, that's gonna be fun. I'm sure the shows we'll do around that, because the lockout's always good for many good jokes.
Yeah, great. Another lockout. Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, we'll check with the chat one more time before we head out.
The NHLPA, do you think the NHLPA would be responsible for a lockout compared to previous lockouts?
We will get there. We will get to the lockout.
Yes, and in regards to would the CUDA still play at SAP Center, considering that there were some minute rumors about them moving to Fresno, as far as I know, the CUDA would still play at the tank and probably open up the upper bowl to accommodate people who
are craving the hockey.
Exactly. I mean, in 2004, when the season was canceled, San Jose State had, well, they still have their hockey team, but they filled up which rink is it? The North rink at Sharks Ice to complete capacity, where they had fans lining the boards almost too deep, and it's something amazing. So that would be pretty cool. But like Kevin said before, you know, people in Sellund Arena and the State Wide Center want nothing to do with hockey, so I can't see them going to Fresno anytime soon.
No.
So
yeah, I think the Sharks like it the way it is, and you know, don't want to go on a whole tangent, but as far as I know, they like the fact that it's a building they're already paying rent on. It's the ice they're already doing the maintenance on. The fixed cost is already there. So therefore, that's why they're not worried about attendance, because they aren't losing any more money than they would if they were somewhere else. They would lose a lot more money. So,
yeah.
So, all right. Well, in case you missed anything or you just want to watch it again, and trust me, you always like to, you can get this show on anywhere like TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. I need to update the TuneIn logo now. YouTube, you name it, we have it for you at Teal Town USA. Always make sure you hit that subscribe button down below to get
us. Smash that like button and that subscribe button.
That's right, smash it down like crazy.
And if you're already subscribed, smash it again to be unsubscribed.
Wait, but then resubscribe.
Yeah,
then resubscribe, Alex.
Only hit in even increments if you're already subscribed.
Yes. Final thoughts and where do people can find you, Mr. Martin Day?
Okay, since we already talked a bunch about it, I'll go in a different direction. Toronto hasn't been playing well at all lately. 3-3-4 in the last 10. So I don't know if they're going to be buyers or even potentially sellers. Kind of would have thought they would have been better this season. But that's kind of a different point. You know, I'm glad they won. I mean, like, this is one of the best victories or best wins this season over a good, very good Ducks team. And yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. You can just search me there. Plenty of stuff is going to go up. I'm also doing some stuff for the Spartan Daily, and yeah, so that's where you can find me.
Nice. Mr. Chris JWS, where the people can find you online, I should say, because you're traveling all over the place, though.
So, yeah, no,
your final thoughts.
I dare you to try and find me, because honestly, like, I don't think I've spent a consecutive week in one place for the last month or two. But you can find me on the Twitter machine at ChrisJWS. I put all my terrible thoughts and tweets. Honestly, don't follow me. It's probably a bad idea. final thoughts. I don't want to repeat anything I already said in the show, because I think we've hammered the point home about where the Sharks are and what their potential issues are. But, you know, it's entertaining as always. Win or lose, we're fans. We stick around, and we will be here every post game, just like we always are.
Yes. What are we? Are we almost to 300? I know I always keep bugging you about this, Chris, but what was the last game we missed? I know it was 2015, near the end of the year.
I think it was like March 29th, 2015 was the last time we did not have a After Dark. So that's
we're
probably somewhere around 250 shows. If I had to guess, I would actually have to run those numbers. But yeah, we're probably around 250 to 300.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. Outstanding. So with that, you can reach me on the Twitter machine, Instagram, and all that fun stuff. It's literally just look for Buckeye14. That's my handle everywhere. Makes it a little easier, of course.
Including Adult Friend Finder.
Oh, and Tinder. God. And maybe Tinder, because, you know, no, I'm kidding. Anywho, we'll be back with you on Tuesday night following the Sharks and Jets West Side Story series, game 3, the deciding one. And of course, you can always check us out on tealtownusa.com. So for Chris, Alex, the entire crew, we thank you in the chat. We thank you online. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. And go Sharks. We'll see you Tuesday night.